Tigers are going to win the Premiership.
Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Woo! And welcome to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 FM. Of course, you're here with your host Michael and Liam filling in for Neve this lovely
Good morning,
Friday
Michael.
Morning.
The boys are back.
Welcome back. Have you done every show this week?
I haven't.
You have. And you're here on Sunday as well doing in-joke
as
well.
And too bad the podcast isn't on this week, or else I probably would have done that as well.
You would have done everything. We're trying to get you on Get Serial as well, but that form of betrayal we can't quite do, unfortunately.
After my acapella on, I think last month I did acapella with the host of Sports Desk, and that didn't go on too well,
Wow. How long did that go on for?
I don't know.
Cut it short, did they?
It was the first chorus of Longest Time by Billy Joel.
Oh, look, we love a bit of Billy Joel.
At
the best of times, at the absolute best of times. And it's good to have you here, Liam. It's good to have you here. Of course, you're wearing your Fremantle Guernsey as well. You're very excited for the weekend. The AFLW, of course, heating up.
Yes,
as always, tonight it's going to be happening. We're going to be talking a lot of sport this week, a lot of issues happening throughout the week. We're going to preview the cricket, of course, Australia, South Africa, starting in Port Elizabeth tonight.
And so that's the big issue.
Maybe on
sledging. Maybe the Rumbo.
Rumble in the Port Elizabeth jungle, if there is a jungle nearby.
We saw a type of rumble last night, but let's hope it's nothing
like
that.
We did. We're going to be talking a little bit about that later on. We did win some tickets to the footy show.
Yes.
We will be doing our own review about that.
Yes.
We're also going to be talking about, obviously, the AFLW, this big week of action. We're going to be talking JLT. There are a couple of games that happened prior to today. We had the Tigers and the Roos clashing at Icon Park, and we also had the Saints and the
D's
last
night. Did they clash at Icon Park? I couldn't see. It was too dark.
It was difficult. We spoke about this last Friday about the lighting. It's not the greatest.
But what's meant to be the MCG? It's meant to be the MCG of the AFLW. Let's get the lights on. It's not that hard.
I was gonna say we're looking at some photos now of Dusty Martin getting tackled by big Brandon Pruse, the big Austrian, and it looks like the cameraman didn't have to bring their own flashlight, because it looks like that they just had this one big flash every now and again, and it kind of lights up the players, and it goes all dark again. So I think Gillen might have to look into that. But we'll be talking a lot about that. We'll also be talking a couple of issues.
Busy trying to do AFLX in Hong Kong. Like,
he's a bit busy.
He's got priorities, that man.
Now, because we were at the footy show live last night, there was another story that's been breaking about the AFL. We will be talking a little bit about that as well, about a potential mid-season draft, which is going to be quite a big thing that they're looking to do in 2019, looking to implement that. We'll be talking a little bit about the NBA, a little bit about Sydney FC coach moving into a exciting new position, which was mentioned just recently in the Sin News headlines as well. So how about that?
And also, Melbourne Rebels are looking to continue the undefeated start in the Super Rugby. Maybe a good idea to leave them in and kick out the Western Force. And Melbourne Storm kick off their title defence at the new Perth Stadium in a doubleheader. So can't wait to talk about that. Let's jump straight into the AFL. The JLT on Wednesday night, in the pitch black.
Pitch black. This was a difficult game to see.
Richmond continue on their absolute merry way against a struggling North Melbourne. How good are Richmond going? How good are they looking pre-season? I know it's only pre-season, but they are looking in
great form. They're making a statement, Liam. I think the way that they saw the Western Bulldogs drop off from their premiership win in 2016, the way they went about things in 2017 was a little bit lackluster. I think what Damien Hardwick has instilled into the boys at the Richmond club, they want to be competitive this season, but they also want to go back-to-back. And I think that's a strong way. I think Damien Hardwick, coming from Hawthorn, would know that you need a backup season after season.
And he was good. He was part of Hawthorn that won the 08 flag
Correct.
Out of nowhere. and he was a part of the Hawthorn drop-off in 09, so he knows a bit about both.
So he knows a little bit about both, and he knows what it takes to be up there in success.
Yeah, a premiership, a part of that phenomenal Essendon side in 2000.
Oh, yes.
And a part of that Port Adelaide flag in 2004. He's part of some good flag teams.
He's been around a lot of success.
Yes, he's a very good coach, but how good Dustin Martin's, you know, the talk of every... apparently they're talking about him in the International Space Station. That's how big he is. You know, one small step for man, one giant leap for Dustin Martin.
They're saying that they don't even need to have a specialized spacesuit for him to walk on Mars. They're thinking of civilizing Mars in the future. I think Dustin Martin could either be from there, or he'll be very, very good in helping relations for sure. So Dustin Martin, 22 disposals, backed up another great performance from playing up in Wangaratta as well. So look, he hasn't lost anything over the preseason. Obviously, Swanee has kept him.
Kept him hydrated.
Very, very much hydrated and also well-motivated. Yes. So, he's going to hit this season very hard, Dustin Martin. Already has. Richmond had a really good spread of goal kickers in their big win against North Melbourne. Kane Lambert showed
four
his
snags.
Good form.
How good's that?
Moore, Butler, Caddy, Revolt, Castagna, all very common names in that Richmond lineup.
Bolton might be bolting to the best 22, hopefully.
I'll tell you what, Shai Bolton has looked sensational.
He has.
He has gotten a lot of touches in this JLT series so far. We already knew a lot about his credentials from last season. Played a couple of games. Almost looked like he kicked the winning snag against GWS in one of their games as well.
And it was a point, yeah.
And it was a point. He begs to differ. I know it's a very congested piece but they won the premiership, so I don't have to dwell on it too much. But Shai Bolton, I think he'll play round one personally. I think he's definitely cemented his spot in there, but we'll just see how consistent he is.
What about the life member himself, Jack Graham?
Know
what I found fascinating, and it was really amazing. I looked at AFL.com and they're talking about your club chances of a rising star. Jack Graham, premiership player, life membership, and he could win an everlasting star. Talk about going, you know, front backwards.
I tell you what. After his grand final performance, I think he was
phenomenal.
He was robbed of the Norm Smith. I think if he won it,
it wouldn't be the worst thing, because I think he did play phenomenal.
He did.
Kicked three goals and then tagged Warwick Sane into oblivion.
He did. He was just sensational. And honestly, I think he'll just continue rising up the ranks at Richmond.
There's a reason why he was the captain of South Australia back in the, 2015 or 2016. And possibly future captain of the Richmond Tigers.
Absolutely correct.
Another player I liked is, I was critical of his first game, but Luke Davies Uniacke.
Yeah,
he played really solid on the weekend.
The fresh pickup from North Melbourne. Yes. Of course, they had a very high draft pick in this in last year's draft, and he's looking the goods. He's looking really tough around the ball, and he's getting plenty of it as well. So
he's built like a brick house. He's built like a brick house.
He's a big boy.
Now let's go to Thursday. So yesterday, so we didn't watch this game because we were at the footy show. But Clayton Oliver, absolute fantastic there,
isn't he great?
Kicked two goals. Got plenty of the footy. Got 27 touches. So would have got three votes in the Brownlow.
Definitely would have.
Not often a player wins a best and fairest in a second season. And I think that was probably one of the most untalked about things of last season.
I think
so. Second year, won a best and fairest. Looking to probably be an absolute superstar from the Melbourne Football Club.
I certainly think so.
With likes of Petrarca, Brayshaw, if he stays fit. Hogan. Who else is there? And you've probably got Lever as well. They're looking the goods, Melbourne. Viney's just one of the... He's going to be one of the best captains in the AFL in the coming years, but they are looking pretty good, the Melbourne Demons.
They are looking very good indeed. And the Saints, however, they did show a couple of good signs.
Yes, they've got in front.
Sebastian Ross, believe it or not, he is Joe Watson's cousin, I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't take the same pregame ritual that
Joe
Watson does.
He doesn't take the same pregame ritual. No. He's very superstitious, the old Sebastian Ross. So he does the cooking by the book. Blake Akers as well played very, very well, 28 disposals. And Shane Savage, one thing that certainly is a big positive for the Saints, his pinpoint accuracy, his kicking, and certainly his hitting up of targets has been a much talked about part of the AFLX and also the JLT series. So he's played well, but unfortunately, not a lot of kind of accurate contributors around the board. St Kilda have looked very inaccurate, not hitting targets, not having fluent ball movement. That is going to be a big struggle for them. If they can overcome that in this season, I think they'll do well. But I think Melbourne certainly looking like the team team to beat next season.
Well, and also another big issue for St Kilda, Jack Stevens went down with an ankle injury.
He did. Yep, rolled ankle.
The coach said he would be okay, but how much do you believe? Like, that's probably 4 weeks.
Richo's a positive man, you know. Oh, he'll be all right, you know. The old, he'll be fine, you know. Yeah, look, I think it was a rolled right ankle, so obviously iced off, wasn't wrist. But let's hope for his sake he can, because he's a phenomenal player. Hopefully he'll be out there for Saints in round one, but they're pretty confident.
Another good pickup for St Kilda, Hunter Clark, played good 8 touches, kicked the goal, did what he needed to do. Wasn't great about being terrible, you know.
That's right, that's right. Like the name Hunter.
Yeah. You
know? He's a hunter and gabberer. He's a hunter and collector. No, he does very well. Michael Hibbert as well played pretty well. 23 disposals. Always hurts when I say Michael Hibbert because I would have loved him to be at my old club.
I still love my theory about that. The reason why he left Essendon was they all got together like, oh yeah, we're all going to leave, we're all going to leave, and then he's the only one that left.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Everyone else chickening out last minute.
He was. They changed the locks of the club. Unfortunately, yeah. He was just kept out.
Well, he paid dividends, winning All Australian for Melbourne.
Did very, very well. Yes. And started his season late, so no, Michael Hibbert will be another great, great pickup for them this season, and he'll continue to play well. Talking about great pickups, Jake Lever played again on the weekend, backed up his good performance in the first week of the JLT, 17 disposals, and yeah, how about those marks? He's going to look very influential off the halfback line for Melbourne.
That's what he's known for.
And that is indeed. So Melbourne ended up winning that one quite easily in the end. So they've had a perfect pre-season, and they'll be hard to beat in round one against Geelong.
Yes. Oh, I think it'll be a good game, actually.
I think it'll be a very good game.
So we've got some few of the other games. So we've got
yes,
to start
yes,
off
we've
with
got some GWS
and GWS and Sydney are playing tonight.
They are tonight.
And Deledio and Toby Green are both back,
which is very, very exciting. Great players. Toby Green recently just signed a big contract of 6 years, which we rarely see these days. Of course, when Buddy Franklin signed his big, was it 8 year,
yeah,
7 year contract?
Nine year contract.
Yeah, he'll be an old man by the time he finishes. They'll have to wheel him out, I think.
And he had, Fife and Martin both signing big deals at
big
the end
deals
of last
well.
Year.
So potentially right now, they're starting to become quite a big thing, and, you know, it probably will see Toby Green be a one-club player.
Definitely the fear of free agency, though.
Mm.
I think next year they're going to try to lock away Josh Cully, but I think they know it's a bit of a given that Cully will probably leave at the end of next year.
You reckon?
Yeah, there were a lot of comparisons with him and Chris Judd, but then saying that, no one really knew Chris Judd was leaving until he left.
Yeah, that's very true.
But these days, yeah, everyone knows he's gone. So Sinclair and Naismith aren't playing.
Mm.
So I don't know who's going to do the ruck duties for Sydney. Maybe Sam Reid?
Yeah, I think maybe Sam Reid. There's been a little bit of talk about Kirk Tippett coming out of retirement for this season and actually trying to fill that void in their ruck ranks. But as you mentioned quite accurately, Liam, apparently he's already started his retirement on quite a big note, and sunk a few frothies and a few burgers as well. So don't know if he's in the best shape, but it's going to be difficult to see. I think Darcy Cameron, who's in the Swans ruck department, will be rucking in GWS. But let's hope he doesn't go down as well, because that does mean that Kirk Tippett will have to come out of retirement. Or maybe Tony Lockett can jump in there. Who knows? He's looking very fit. I don't know. He's looking very fit. So that'll be an interesting game. On the other side of the ledger, a couple of notable absentees for the Greater Western Sydney Giants. Ryan Griffin's not going to be playing this one. And Tom Scully and Rory Lobb as well. So doesn't look like they're going to be playing, but
I think they're getting Lobby up for round one.
Lobby for round one,
he's going to take the full-time ruck position, which I think he should be playing. I think that's the one that probably I think the cost GWS the most in the last 2 years.
Correct.
Was I think they were too tall up forward.
Mm.
And having Cameron and Patton.
That's right.
Which I think is phenomenal. I hope they don't do what Stanley Freer did last year and it really did my head in. Was I have the two tall forwards and they both played up the ground at the same time.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Always have one back.
Not only that, but with Shane Mumford retiring, it just kind of opens up the door now. And Rory Lobb can assume that number one position.
Definitely.
And I think he'll do it very well. He does ruck very well around the ground when he does get an opportunity. We move to Saturday, where Collingwood are up against Western Bulldogs at Ted Summerton Reserve in Maui. Maui. So that'll be classic. Jordan Dugowie won't be playing this one. Daniel Wells, still under a bit of an injury cloud. They're pretty confident he will be able to get up for round one. So yeah,
Elliott and Greenwood as well.
Yep.
But Darcy Moore, I think he's back. Yeah, Darcy Moore's back.
He is certainly back, which is good. In the back pocket. It's a bit of a different back pocket plumber.
I don't get why Collingwood looking for a big tall forward looking Hawkins and Lynch, where they already have a nice key forward that they can do a Danaher. I think Moore reminds me a bit of Danaher, someone who took a while to develop.
Yep.
You know,
around the same time.
All he has to do is get a disgusting moustache and he'll be fine. And then rob someone of Mark of the Year.
I reckon he's just got to shave all his hair off, because I tell you what, that little bit of the fringe that does come around his forehead, you can see it's irritating him. So I think he needs to get rid of it. But they will also be boosted by Adam Trudeau and Jeremy Howe coming in as well. So yes. Collingwood will be a little bit better than they were in the first week of the JLT.
Oh, that was terrible in the first week.
Terrible, absolutely terrible.
And the Doggies as well. I'm sure mentioning they're going to play their Shaqy Boyd combo for the first time.
Looking forward to seeing this.
I think Aaron Norton picked 9. He was last year. Played phenomenal against the Hawthorn.
In saying this, they've brought Tory Dixon in to the squad, but they've left Tom Boyd on the emergency list. So
he's
not
on the emergency
too
list.
Sure,
ah,
what's happening,
yes, he
here?
Is.
Maybe they're saving the fans and the AFL world until round one, the highly anticipated Boyd and Shaqy combination. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just teasing us a little bit. Maybe they're just waiting. But who knows? He could play. Tom Boyd has looked pretty good this preseason, so hopefully he has a more consistent season this year. Ooh. After his incredible grand final. Who can forget that?
Just before we get to the next game, I just thought of a nice theory of the two ruckmen. You know how they're saying now that only one ruckman can play. Why don't you know how soccer teams have a goalkeeper on the bench?
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Don't really play. Why don't they do that with a ruckman? Have a second ruckman on the bench in case they need it.
Just an idea. Yeah, potentially. And if you're listening,
kind of a sub rule, but not just for the ruckman.
Potentially, if it doesn't hurt the interchange kind of restrictions and all the kind of rotations that they have. Of course, they've got a lot of restrictions now. Potentially, they could. You know, do something like that. At least it means that the most fresh ruckmen are out there, and it could make things more exciting in the midfield. Who knows? Good idea.
We've got the showdown, the preseason
showdown in Alberton.
Yes.
Ooh.
And
spirits will fly.
Unfortunately, star recruit Lindsay Thomas is not playing, as well as Jack Tringrove, but some good ins there with Pollack, Wingard, Marsh, McKenzie, Gray, and Johnson. Rockcliffe is not playing. But
No John Cock, though. No.
No
John Cock.
No. Rockcliffe is not playing, but she'll play round one. Jack Watts is a maybe since he was sick.
Yep,
he had to leave the function yesterday due to sickness. Oof. As well as Adelaide. Again, we've got Crouch, Smith, of course, and Walker. But Douglas, Hardwood, Betts, Sloan, Hardigan, and Talia are in, which are pretty handy in if you
Very
ask
handy
me.
Very by the sound of it.
Let's go down to the Hawthorn game. Shields, Shields out with a bit of an injury, but Frawley, Glass, and Cousins are in, and that's not Ben Cousins, by the way.
I was about to say, wow. Good to see him returning.
Carlton's got Wiedering back in, and stuffed up his last name. Mr. Seaton.
Petrescu Seaton's in. Yeah, yeah. It takes us a couple of goes there, but we'll get better at it when he starts getting a lot more Brownlow votes, for sure.
So where does... this is a weird question, and I've heard a lot of hype about Charlie Kerno. What does he do? Is he a midfielder or a forward?
I feel like he's a very tall midfielder who can push up forward, kick some snags, but he's a strong player. So I'd like to see him play more in the midfield. I think his brother is more of a tagger. So
His brother's like 4'2". So
I'll tell you what, Charlie Kerno can kick a lot of goals. So
he kicked 20 last year. So
I'd probably say he could play his best footy on the wing.
Mm.
Push up forward.
We'll go down to Sunday now.
Ah,
we have the Bombers,
the Dons
playing. Geelong.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
Taylor's in, Dangerfield, and Sarwood are in.
No
Ablett yet.
Ablett.
But
no
Ablett's hamstring's fine, apparently. Wink, wink. Nudge.
The only problem is he's going into round one not having played the back end of last season.
He missed,
and
I
no
think, the
pre-season,
last five, yeah.
Yeah, and no pre-season games this season. So I don't know. I mean, champions... quite often, you know, if they're underdone, they still perform pretty well. But it'd be interesting to see how Gaz plays, because they don't They don't want an injury early on in the season for him. You wouldn't want to risk such a such a valuable player.
Such an old player as well.
Such an old player. Yeah, he's an
Lockie Henderson's
wonder.
As well, and I think Scott Sutherland are both going to risk it in the missed round one.
That's
well, Lockie Henderson's pretty much a certain in the missed round one, so it's going to be interesting to see how Geelong hold up. And you take us through your mob.
Yeah, so Cale Hooker comes back into the side. Jimmy Stewart, very, very good player. David Myers as well. And Tommy Bell Chambers. So, how could I possibly forget Michael Hurley as well? Had a bit of a wrist injury during one of the intra-club games, but he is looking strong now. All coming into the side, so should be a lot better than our dismal performance against the Tigers.
I see someone there as Ruck Rover, a bit of a J Stringer there. So they're keeping the midfield thing
Stringer?
Going?
Stringer? Yeah, well, apparently so. I mean, they'll probably play him midfield throughout the JLT.
He got rid of that horrendous hairdo, so I think he should be fine.
Oh, they did. He did. Did he dye it back to...
No, he just shaved it. He goes, wow, I don't want to look like a wanker.
Yep, that's a very fair call. I hope he dyes it back to jet black or something different.
Rosario Fantasia's out, unfortunately.
Yeah, difficult.
Unfortunately for BT, no Stringer Fantasia combo.
Unfortunately not if BT is heading to the stadium on the weekend. But no, Orazio won't be playing round one. It's confirmed. He's undergone a bit of surgery. But hopefully he'll be back as soon as possible because we do want to see that combination.
Then we go from Gold Coast and Brisbane. Oh, what an actual! Everyone loves this game.
Oh, this is the Q clash. Mm. This is a very very crucial clash.
But a nice. Well, they haven't announced the teams yet. But good innings for the Gold Coast considering how well they played against Geelong last week.
Mm.
Barlow, Spencer, Williams, Swallow, and skipper Stephen May. All in would be a nice, but. Go down to the Brisbane Lions with Zorko and Hodgie are in.
Hodgie's in. That's incredible. It'll be good that he's playing his first game for the Brisbane Lions, particularly against the rival club, which hopefully he'll scuffle up a little bit. Just make his presence known. He's got a new rival now. It's no longer Geelong. It's now the Gold Coast. So he's got to shift his attention to that.
Yes, and we'll go down to the last game of the JLT, so the last game before the season starts. Fremantle Dockers were playing West Coast for the second time in 2 weeks.
Incredible.
After playing the practice game last week.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Hill's out with a quad injury, so he's going to struggle in round one. Giro's been omitted, and Bradley Gray is also out with an injury. After the tees for Freo, Banal, unfortunately. Oh, the Brownlow medalist in waiting.
This is a matter of time.
And the both Hill brothers, as well as now West Coast.
Family function.
Yes. good and bad news there for West Coast. With Nanui missing, but he's playing for East Perth.
Yep, he's looking like he'll line up for round one, which I think the whole AFL world, they want to see some.
According to Chris Judd, he's going to be black better than ever.
Yes, one of his unfortunate tweets, Juddy. Of course, he didn't mean it to come out
and
like
Nanui
that.
And took it like a champ.
But he did, didn't he? He took it like a champ.
He said it'll be both. He'll be black and back next year.
And so, back.
Good on Nick Nanui there for taking it.
I don't think any of that will be changing anytime soon. But
and
good
Josh
on
Kennedy,
Nick Nanui.
And Josh Kennedy is struggling to play round one, but give Jack Darling a chance to shine.
Yeah, so which I would like to see happen.
They're all your JRT games.
That's all our JRT news. Yes. We're going to crack on to a song now.
Yes, and then we'll talk about the mid-season draft.
And we'll be talking about the mid-season draft when we get back. Of course, we're going to be talking about the AFLW when we get back. And stay tuned because Liam and I are going to give a very short review of our little experience last night. We went along to the footy show. Shout out to my good mate Nathan who was able to get me tickets. Very, very nice of him. Only met this week. Paparazzi member, very nice guy. So don't judge the paparazzi too harshly, guys, because they are very, very nice people. In fact, I want any of you to message us now if you have seen the AFL Footy Show Season 1, Episode 1.
Episode 699?
699. Of course, 700th episode is next week. Liam, we had the pleasure to go along
courtesy of
Nathan, my good mate.
Yeah, shout out to Nathan there.
Shout out to Nathan if he's listening. We had the pleasure to sit very close to the front and, in fact, very close to a particular segment called... Called Cut the Wrap? And originally I thought it was a reference to actually cutting like a wrap, you know, like a multi-grain wrap or something.
Oh, nice.
So I was trying to picture how this segment was going to go down. They literally moved everyone out of the room and they brought in this massive stage and Big Billy Brownless and Shane Crawford came on with a couple of robes and they did a bit of a wrap and it wasn't really... the best.
Wasn't the best segment. It was probably one of the worst.
One of the worst segments they've done. It was pretty badly rehearsed. It was pretty badly executed, and it didn't seem like they had much of an idea what they were doing, or much experience in the rapping kind of realm.
Yes, and even after Shady McGuire asked the crowd, what does he think? And it was kind of a, let's not bring that next week, please.
Exactly. So they've been hammered on social media about the embarrassing rap battle skit, and unfortunately it's copped a bit of fire. But look, the footy show in all, it wasn't too bad. Not too sure what kind of direction they're going in this season, but it was awesome to be there. There's a couple of AFLW players there, which is amazing. We got to have a chat to a few on the way out. Hopefully we can get them on the show, a couple of the girls from the Pies.
Well, sorry, they came out to us. They're like, they you guys are from the Sports Desk, can tell by your voice.
They said, we can you know, put a voice to a face, and you guys look like your broadcasters.
Me. They knew me. They're like, you don't look muscly enough. They're like, you don't look. I thought you'd be musclier.
Look, in all reality, as muscly as my voice may sound, look, my vocal cords are quite muscly. You could weigh several large weights on that, but unfortunately, the muscles aren't quite there, Liam. As they cleverly pointed out.
Yes, just threw my fiance under the bus there because first time she saw you, she's like, oh. I thought he'd be musclier.
Yes. I thought I was pretty well built. So maybe a little bit too slim. Maybe I should hit up more carbs, unfortunately.
Do this and supplement diet,
I think so. That's right. Breakfast, lunch and dinner.
But another story from the footy show is the talk about the mid-season draft.
Yes, they were. And that was very well explained by Eddie McGuire, someone who is, of course, on top of all these issues. So the mid-season draft would practically mean that June would be footy-less.
Which is also now a terrible idea.
Which I think if you're going to have any kind of curtain raisers, odds kicking, drills, whatever, you do it in that period of time.
So I don't think a month. I think 2 weeks.
2 weeks might be
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because there wouldn't be many trades going on.
No, but there wouldn't be. You would think that, and I think the reason for the mid-season draft, a little bit similar to the NBA, is any kind of speculation about players who weren't really comfortable with their contracts at the start of the season can seek any kind of trade in that period. Also, if there's any players on a team, let's say ruck divisions, they use Sydney as a prime example, lost both of their headline ruckmen. So if they need to pick up a ruckman, let's say a ruckman who's fourth tier from, let's say, Fremantle isn't playing, he can then go across to Sydney, get an opportunity, be, their number one ruckman straight away, no problems at all. And in return, Fremantle will get some draft picks for the end of the season. So everyone's
a winner.
Or they
go down to the local league and pick up someone from there.
Correct, absolutely.
I've got mixed feelings about one. It's kind of like Frazier is not a perfect working system. It's a strong clubs become stronger.
Yep, that's right.
I know it's taken a while to look at, but you look at clubs like St Kilda and North Melbourne, two prime examples of players they just don't want to go to North Melbourne or St Kilda. They probably never want to get a big name, and big names don't want to go there.
That's right.
Where, and it's going to be the same with the mid-season trade now, where it's going to be a player who thinks they deserve a premiership, and I always hate that. I hate players who want to leave to win a flag they deserve a flag, but they leave a club not and for no reason, just because they want a flag.
That's a very fair point, Your team could be really struggling after having big expectations from the season. You're midway through the season, you see your team's doing well, you see some of your teammates that you played the TAC Cup with really enjoying their footy. They're probably luring you over to come. And as a result, you go to a club that's already having success and you just add to that success. You make them an unstoppable force in the competition. I think that could be where it could really be a big disadvantage for some clubs that are struggling.
I think, apart from you've got clubs like probably Western Australia and Adelaide, so Western Australia and South Australia, who have the luck of having a lot of homegrown talents from Victoria, also wanting to come home. As much as people talk about the Victorian go-home factor, Freo in the last, 3 years, have got, I think, six players wanting to come home to back to the WA. So even for that, it's going to be not a good look for the game.
No, probably
not.
McLaughlin's
not a fan of one club players. Yep. He constantly says how much he wants to see players move around all the time. A lot of us are still very old fashioned. We like to see the one club players.
Yeah, I like the one club player.
Yeah, and
but equally, if a player's not getting an opportunity at one club,
I agree with players. My best example is Alex Savani, who's now in the leadership group at Carlton. I think he wastes his career at Fremantle, always being the third tall backman who never. Mm-hmm. And I thought he would be in the best 22 of any other team he played at.
Yeah.
So I do agree with something like that. If you need a backman, you go to something like Freeman. You've got an Alex Savani, easy as you like. But it's going to be someone like, just say, Tom Lynch at the moment, who's out of contract at Gold Coast. Gold Coast, and, you know, last, I haven't won a game. Richmond's first. Mm. Oh, I want to win the flag. Head over to Richmond. And I don't, you know, starting to think for a lot of players, flags aren't as much as they used to be.
Yeah, probably the meaning like has used, kind
you
know, of
you,
been...
You play, you, like Shane Crawford, no way, played 300 odd games for Hawthorn, champion, Brownlow medalist, captain, wins the flag. Means a lot now. Players, good example is probably last season in the NBA with Kevin Durant.
Mm.
Like, what does that championship mean to Kevin Durant?
Exactly.
He played a whole
game. Won one the year before.
Played a whole 80 games there for Golden State. It wasn't as big. But let's jump over to the AFLW and we'll start off straight away with your votes.
Big round, this one. So my votes are for round 5, which was last week. I'm giving the... Should we go 3-2-1 or 1-2-3?
I'll go 1-2-3.
1-2-3. So one vote goes to Ellie Blackburn. Played really, really well. Dominated the Pies. She was running rings all around the Pies midfield.
Definitely has taken the captaincy with both hands since Brennan's been out.
Yeah, exactly. Probably the difference between the two sides in that game, because the game was quite close, only 8 points in the end. Quite a heated battle, that one. Of course, a lot of suspensions coming out of that game and a couple of throws that were going into the crowd and whatnot. But 17 disposals, 4 clearances. Played very, very well. My two votes goes to Chelsea Randall. Has had a really,
Most underrated player this season. Most underrated player this season by an absolute mile.
An absolute country mile. She's played absolutely outstanding.
Probably been Adelaide's best in every game. I think she's going to win their best and fairest.
I think she will.
By an absolute mile as well. I think and particularly by far the most underrated player.
That's correct. And particularly with Erin Phillips only playing about half of that game against Carlton, she really stood up. 15 disposals. Doesn't sound like a lot, but 7 tackles. Always could see her around the field. Her influence is everywhere.
She's one of those players that makes every disposal count. So 15 disposals and they all counted.
That's right.
She doesn't waste the footy.
That's right. She doesn't waste the footy. She's always looks very, very solid and, important in that Crows midfield. She could be potentially the one player that can drag him into an unlikely grand final.
Yes. And who's your three votes? Well, I know who your three votes are, but who's your three votes?
My three votes goes to... Daisy Pierce!
Absolutely. Well, as I say, I believe because that was also my three votes, as well as Kayla's three votes as well.
Yes.
She's got the perfect 9 this week.
She got the perfect 9 this week. She only got 9 disposals the week beforehand, but she got the 9 votes this week
Come the champion, like I said on Wednesday. She was phenomenal.
What a return to form. Absolutely just a captivating performance by her. 24 disposals. The first 2 goals of the game, her first goal of the season, the very first goal of the game. So that was big by her. She's just a champion. You can't keep champions down for too long. And, despite all of her tags that she's had, she put them all aside her. And she played an exceptional game. Of course, Melbourne getting over the line. Very big on that weekend. Important.
Let's go to now the tallies. And with the 9 votes, Daisy Pierce, the winner of last year's award, has jumped up 2 first now with 11 votes. Second place, she got the 2 doggies, Brooke Lachlan, who scored the perfect 9 last week.
She did.
And Ali Blackburn. And in fourth place, you've got Dana Hooker and Erin Phillips.
Yes, correct. So we'll be following that very, very closely to see
next 2 weeks,
who is
massive.
Our second season of the AFLW's prestigious sports desk best and fairest.
And let's see if we'll probably give the club a call, see if we can get an interview with one of these players, hopefully.
Now, talking about absolute superstars, Adelaide co-captain Erin Phillips has been named for the crucial game tonight against Fremantle. Of course, Adelaide up against Fremantle in Darwin. So another interstate game in the Northern Territory, which is great. Bringing footy to the Northern Territory is what we like to see. So the Crows are still an outside chance to make the grand final. The Dockers have made 2 changes. Liam, take us through those.
Yes. The Maguire is out.
Yes, unfortunately, because she's an absolute champion. She's also admitted with Belinda Smith, and they have brought in Taylor Breslin and Tia Hayes, very talented midfielder as well. So, be an interesting clash this one. Who are you going to be tipping for this one?
Oh, I don't know.
You're going to tip your old side?
The umpires.
You're going to tip the umpires for
always
this one?
Always umpires.
The umpires will be carrying purple flags, which is great, the goal umpires, as a part of International Women's Day that happened yesterday.
I'm not going to lie, it was very poorly explained on the footy show.
Very, very poorly explained. In fact, footy was rarely a topic last night as well.
It's rarely a topic on the footy show, really.
Exactly. But, yeah, it would have been nicer if that was covered more comprehensively. We move to Saturday, where Brisbane Lions are up against Collingwood down at Moreton Bay. Now, this is going to be an interesting game because both, obviously, Brisbane are looking to cement a spot either first or second on the ladder to get into the grand final. And Collingwood, on the other hand, well, you know, last on the ladder, just trying to show that they've got something to play for. They have been better. They have been better the last couple of weeks. But Steph Kiocchi, after that, quite, it looked like a crude hit if you slow it down, but she was going for the ball, so doesn't get too much time on the sidelines.
I do think it's a bit stiff considering Darcy's kick to the private parts in round one only got 2 weeks, and this. I thought of the stiff suspension.
That's what I thought as well.
Conway's in, which is a big in for the Brisbane Lions.
I think that was great. I mean, I was disappointed to see she missed out last week after her Rising Star nominee.
Yes.
Nomination, should I say. So, yeah, disappointing to see her not playing last week, but it's good to see her back, and hopefully Brisbane will be winning this
The biggest disappointment I have for this game is that Collingwood for Brisbane is not playing against Collingwood. Why not?
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Now we go to Greater Western Sydney, where they're up against the Doggies.
This
of course,
is a big
the Doggies
game.
Are looking the absolute goods. However, they did have a bit of a scare last week with getting so close against Collingwood. But the Greater Western Sydney Giants have been talk of the town.
Well, I've said this Monday and I've said this Wednesday, and I want to say it today. Giants would be kicking themselves if they don't make the grand final. They should have defeated Melbourne in round one.
They should.
They played terrible against Carlton, and they played great against Collingwood, and they should have defeated Adelaide in round four. And they easily got over the Freo in round five, and they should be exactly where the Doggies are with one loss. So, and they've also a great chance to make the grand final, especially if they can get over the Doggies in Canberra. But if the Doggies get over the Giants, it's pretty much a grand final berth for the Doggies.
Absolutely.
Some that took the men's 52 years to do.
Only taken two for the Doggies. So, hopefully, best of luck to them.
Only one change for the
Only one change.
Game. Bailey out, we bury in. Brennan, who said that she might want to play this game, is not, which I think is a fantastic decision. If she is fit, play her for the grand final, or if they end up losing this game, play her against Melbourne in that must-win game next week.
Exactly.
Let's go down to the final game of the round, talking about Melbourne. Carlton, they are all sorts.
In all sorts. They're struggling at the moment.
Four outs as well.
Without their inspirational skipper, it's looking difficult for them.
Hicks, Brazel, and Arnell all injured, and Webb was rested, and that's... And that was been fantastic since she went back against the Doggies. Kicked the only scorer against Doggies in that absolute thrashing. And you go down to Melbourne with Bianca Jacobson. Big injury there for the Demons.
Yeah.
She's been solid across half back. Who did you have in the last game? The Doggies Giants. We forgot to say that.
Doggies Giants. Oh, I think I have the Doggies, but only just because I reckon JWS will come hard.
This one's big. Melbourne needs to win to keep it alive, as well as Brisbane, especially if Collingwood can get up against Brisbane. It is an absolute must-win for Melbourne. It
certainly is.
To pretty much get them a grand final spot. They did miss out last year, pretty much losing two games in a row like they did. Same thing. I've got Demons by a lot here. Carlton's just...
Yeah. They're in all sorts.
They are absolutely terrible. Despite what they said on the footy show saying they're all good... We know football language. We're smart enough to know.
They're very well media trained, Liam, these days.
I honestly think the Vessio Taylor thing has been a very disappointing because Carlton just can't score.
It has been because they just haven't been able to get the ball up to the forward line.
Both of them should be the high goal kicker.
They should be.
I still don't know how Taylor Harris made the All Australian squad last year. She got clunky marks, but she really hasn't set the world alight in any game she's played. Don't hurt me, Taylor, please. I know you're a scary, scary person. I don't think Carlton are good enough. And they're playing Icon Park. So hopefully, it's twilight, so the lights might not be an issue that game.
May not be a huge issue as well. So that's the round for the AFLW round six, of course, kicking off tonight. Make sure you stay tuned with that. We're going to head to a song, but before we do, we're going to quickly mention some developing news that's currently
developing
happening.
News.
Well, we feel like it may not be over, but it could spark a whole amount of revelations with a potential allegation happening just recently with a player claiming that she was sexually harassed by an opponent during a game. Now, this is the first time this has ever happened in the AFLW that we're aware of, that's ever been brought to light. The it's unclear whether there was any witnesses to the alleged incident that could back up any player's versions. But sources say the Adelaide player believes her GWS opponent had crossed the line with a combination of lewd words and touching on the backside, which is very inappropriate.
Let's kick things off right now. And
So game two of the NBL finals is going to be taking place in Perth. Now, could Adelaide join Melbourne, or could we get a game three, Liam? That
could
is
be,
the question.
It's going to be very interesting. With last year's actually grand finalists, where Perth got an easy 3-0 victory over Adelaide. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be very,
can
very
Adelaide win
there?
Over there in the furnace? I think they call it the furnace.
The furnace.
Also, Graham Arnold, so the Sydney FC coach, is now going to be
big.
The coach of the Socceroos, where Brett Van Marwijk finishes his 2018 World Cup campaign. So it'd be very awkward if the Socceroos win and they
I was going to say,
give him the boot.
If we win something as big as the World Cup, surely they can't let that guy go.
But I think, ever since the, I can't remember the last coach, the one who...
Postecoglou?
No, the one before that.
Oh.
Yeah,
now you're getting me to think.
Yeah.
Not Muscat.
No. ever since he left, they've been going for like an Australian technique there with their coaches.
But it's very interesting indeed. Now, I think he'll do very well. He'll instill a good culture in the Socceroos. And, of course, being such a important coach for Sydney FC, who practically can't be defeated at the moment, he's probably...
Even though they lost last week.
Even though they lost last week, which is just incredible because it doesn't happen too often. You've got to pinch yourself every time it happens.
Yes, it's...
You've got to buy the paper every time it happens.
I see it, but I don't believe it.
I see it, but I don't believe it. You know, Sydney FC, they've got an incredible record. But yeah, they've got a very good culture up there. Hopefully that culture will be instilled when he comes in. But hopefully there's a bit of a culture already there with our World Cup campaign. Best of luck to the Socceroos. Now, the Melbourne Rebels will take on the Brumbies today. And can the Melbourne Rebels remain undefeated?
Well,
this is
their best start to a season since they entered, I think, 2011.
They haven't been in there for too long. But they've made a big influence.
Yeah, they were one of the two teams that was there over them, or the Western Force that got the boot, and Rebels, I think, are paying the Super League dividends by actually staying in the competition.
That's right. They're a hell of a team. They're doing very, very well at the moment. Now, the Melbourne Storm will start their title defence at the second of two games at the new Perth Stadium on Saturday. Now, if the Perth Stadium hoodoo continues to go that way, then Melbourne Storm are almost a certainty to win this one, Lee.
Yes, the home teams do not win. The home male teams do not win.
The home male teams do not win.
The females have 100% success rate there at the Perth Stadium.
Highly unlikely that they will be taking this one.
Yes, and the Australian Kookaburras take on Argentina tonight and see if they can remain undefeated in the Sultan Azzam Cup.
Oh, yes, very
it's
nice.
It's going to be a big game as well because Malaysia plays England. And they're both a point away from Argentina, see who plays them off in the finals. And as if people do know, Australia played Argentina in the World Club Championship only a few weeks ago, and they won a good close 2-1 victory. Both Melbourne's A-League clubs are taking a week off this week. You know,
They need a rest. Talking about the soccer as well, the Matildas have lost to Portugal in the Algarve Cup playoff. It hasn't been the greatest of campaigns for them, going down to Portugal, the home side, 2-1. It was pretty wet, it was pretty windy, pretty hard conditions to play soccer in, but missing too many penalties and unfortunately just missing too many opportunities. They're number 38 in the world, Portugal, so that would have hurt a little bit. If you're playing against the host nation, it's usually quite difficult. And finally, before we sign off, South Africa versus Australia in the cricket is happening tonight. This is going to be a huge test in Port Elizabeth. David Warner saying during the week that Quinton de Kock made vile remarks about his wife. This has been highly spoken about. Were there comments before that on the field? Of course, Australia playing quite a tough way, including the way they go about things with their sledging.
Yes, before I go, David Warner, mate, sticks and stones make break my bones. Words will never hurt me, mate.
Yep, so David Warner, he did cop a big fine, approximately around $13,000, $13,500, should I say, 3 demerit points and a fair whack of reputation damage as well in the Australian public. So 75% of his game fee is taken away, but he does get to play this test. He isn't suspended.
Which is always good.
Quinton de Kock got small degree as well for saying his comments. Of course, whenever it's captured on camera, it will come under the spotlight.
Definitely.
It was captured when they were walking off the field on day four. So, yeah, look, we don't like to see this in the game, particularly when it goes off the ground. Both teams are very amicable off the ground, so seeing something like this is a little bit surprising. But there's obviously, you know, first game of a big series, there's going to be a lot of tension out there. You want to start off well. Kind of takes away a little bit of how well Australia plays.
Very disappointing, but let's hope we can get 2-for-2 in a four-game series, which is odd.
It's a little bit odd.
Very odd.
A little bit odd.
Cricket's always an odd number series type of thing.
Certainly
but
is.
Yes, that's all the time for we have to take. Thank you for having me here today, Av.
It's a pleasure to be back.
I hope I did good for Neve. I hope I filled in for her well.
Oh, you did. You did. You did very, very well today.
I'll be back on Monday because I'm the man that never sleeps. This is the Sport Desk on Sin 90.7.